My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Monumental Sports Network were presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. We are in downtown D.C. at the Monumental Sports Studios, and we're joined right now by Zach Leonsis, president of media and new enterprises for Monumental Sports and Entertainment. He's sitting to my left. He's right here.
Yes, Zach,
thank you. Thank you for having us. Thank you for inviting us out to these amazing new digs. Less than a year old, I believe, opened in March. Can you let the viewers and the listeners know what went into this, how long this has been in the works, and it's really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you guys. Well, first off, thanks for having me on the show.
Mm-hmm. Dude, we had your dad on the show the first time.
He enjoyed
we were
that,
in Fairfax.
By the way. Okay. He likes to come on.
No, but we had your dad on the show probably over 20 years ago at this point. I remember he came in.
No, it's probably 25 years ago.
I don't know why it took so long to get him back on.
No, he's been on a few times. Yeah, but when he first came on, he came in like a members-only jacket.
Yes,
he brought like,
I remember.
He brought like donuts.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I can imagine
him wearing that.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's kind of surreal. That's how old we are.
I know. We're getting
the next generation.
No, but talk about the facility, Zach.
So, first off, I'm happy you guys are here. I'm glad this worked. I know there was a two-minute technical hiccup to start the show, but we got through it.
It's all right.
And, to be frank, I'd love to have you guys here more often.
Yeah.
It looks so good on TV. If you're at home and not driving, you should turn on Monumental Sports Network and watch it.
Everything's in negotiations, Zach.
That's right. Okay, fair enough. Okay, well, I'll remember that. That's fine. We built these studios over the course of about 18 months. When we first bought Monumental Sports, or rather NBC Sports Washington, we had no infrastructure. We had no production plant. We had no studio space. We were utilizing what NBCU and Comcast had on Nebraska Avenue with NBC and Telemundo, and we had a shot clock over our heads to build something great. And we began the process a little bit before we actually completed the transaction to buy the network. Actually, on the 20th, we'll celebrate our second anniversary of owning and operating the business. And it was a labor of love. I'm really proud of what we built. It is the best-in-class facility because it's all the newest technology. This is the envy of the local sports media.
I
wanted to ask you, do other teams from other markets come in and see what you've built here and say, wow, we need to do this in Milwaukee or in Houston?
There's no chance
in San Francisco.
There are other regional sports networks like this.
Right.
There's no way.
Yeah, I guess a blessing and a curse. The blessing is you get to build something new exactly how you want it. You get to future-proof it, build it for the future, best video quality, best yada yada. It was really expensive, but it was well worth it. We decided to spend a little bit more because we wanted it to be great. Part of our thesis in buying our network back was that it was always going to be most important to us in reaching over 3 million viewers across the DMV. Frankly, more important than it was to Comcast. This is a core asset to us. It's one of the most important ways we reach and talk with our fans. And so, we felt like the quality of programming had deteriorated you turned on our, after you guys, we, you know, the network used to play infomercials. Mm. It was like watching air fryer ads and whatnot.
Right.
And then there was nothing leading up to the game. And so we wanted to invest back into the programming. We wanted to improve the experience. And so, you know, we've launched a bunch of original programs. We finally opened these studios. We're going to be utilizing the studios for more shows. Hopefully you guys are here more often. Yep. That would be great.
I think we're going to do some altcasts.
Yes, you are.
That'll be fun.
And so we'll be announcing those altcasts in the not-too-distant future. Actually, today, we're announcing the launch of Monumental Plus, our brand-new digital streaming experience.
And I've heard that you can watch the junks
for free. For free now.
Yes. Now, anywhere? Perfect. How does that work? Explain how it works.
So our local live rights are restricted by about roughly a 150-mile radius around D.C. So those are league rights and just how we work with our distributors. But not all of our programming is geo-gated. And so whenever we have a chance to distribute our video past our region, we like to. And so we're super excited to start to stream you guys for free. Obviously, you're free to listen to on radio. You guys should be free to watch
on TV, too. Are we geo-gated or no?
You shouldn't be.
Right?
I don't believe you are.
Yeah, yeah, right?
You shouldn't be.
I mean, it's cool to be free, but let's also monetize some things, too.
You're selling ads, guys.
I'm all cool with monetizing things. Hey. I know you are as well. You're a businessman.
Let's just sell a few TVs and pay the junks.
Yeah, exactly.
I like it.
Exactly.
Like it.
So it was a relief to open these studios. The team, our production team behind the cameras here did, like, yeoman's work in terms of producing shows without a studio for about half a season last year. You know, you saw us in the concourse level and in the Arena Bowl. It wasn't an optimal experience, but we fought through it.
Can I get personal for a second? I'm intrigued. So, your father's Ted Leonsis.
Yep.
What's it like working with him? Like, working with your dad. Like, I couldn't imagine working with my dad.
To be honest with you.
Oh, my dad would yell at me. Oh, if I worked with my dad?
Oh, that was not great. Sometimes. Listen, I've got such a great relationship with my father. I'm very lucky. We're super tight. We're best friends. We think a lot of the same things. I'd say I probably...
How much pressure on you as a kid, education-wise, when your father's super successful? Look, we grew up in nice middle-class neighborhood. You know, neighborhoods, good middle class families, and we always imagine, well, what if we were born into like wealth? Maybe you would be lazy. You obviously are not. You're a grinder.
Thanks.
You want to work.
Nice of you to say. I do appreciate that.
Driven.
It's an interesting question. I would say he didn't pressure me or force me into much. I think he did a good job of introducing me to some influential figures. I had the opportunity to once spend a full day with Eunice Kennedy Shriver, who founded the Special Olympics. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one thing she instilled into me was, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And, you know, I had great mentors and folks like Senator Mark Warner, who I grew a great relationship with, too. And so being around the right people, I think, you know, pushed me and myself to want to do better, to want to outdo certain things. And, you know, even my motivation to go to Penn over Georgetown, I always grew up thinking I'd go to Georgetown, but I knew if I went there, you know, people would say, oh, he just got in because his father or something like that. So I can control what I can control, and that's trying to work hard, trying to treat people really nicely and well. And
I respect
that.
I'm saying, I mean, we don't know. If I was born in 12th, maybe I would have been lazy. I'd been a bum.
I don't know if I hang out with any influential
people. How do you think you would do?
Well, I don't really want to be a bum, so that doesn't sound
understood.
Good.
Understood.
I kind of like being a bum. I'm like laying on the couch, chilling. I'm kind of comfortable with it.
On a Sunday afternoon, I want to be a bum and watch football.
Hey,
so
talk about the video quality and, you know, that fans are going to experience at home.
Well, we upgraded our video quality from 1080i to 1080p. What does that mean? You know, a lot of times when you watch Monday Night Football or something, they say, you know, it's coming to you in stunning 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Surprise, it's actually not.
Mm-hmm.
It's being down-converted by your distributor. So this is the highest quality video that we can distribute now.
Mm-hmm.
But this facility is built to go to 4K.
Mm.
And so we've got our engineers actively working on what does that entail. And there are more and more distributors who are saying that could be a great value add. Well, sometimes they want to charge more. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're just giving it to their customers.
When you watch a World Cup game, for example, and they say it's in 4K,
that's 1080p.
That's still not real 4K.
You're not watching it
in 4K. You know what's amazing? it's still an upgrade.
It still looks good.
It's still an upgrade.
They might be using 4K cameras. Actually, these cameras are 8K cameras.
Right.
But you're not seeing an 8K on, our,
right.
on your television.
Understood. But it definitely translates to a better picture.
It does.
Superior
it definitely
viewing
does.
Experience.
I mean, this is our bread and butter for the network. If our video quality and, you know, the actual production itself isn't good, why would you watch?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I felt a significant burden after we bought the network to ensure that people felt like it was an upgrade, that this was a good change. You know, you didn't want people to say, well, Comcast, NBC, they're TV people. You don't know what you're doing. Why? Well, this didn't work. So we felt a huge responsibility to make this great.
Well, one and thing I think that's great, too, beyond the technical aspect, we all love the people that you guys have, that
yeah.
you see on TV. I mean, you have great broadcast
teams. I feel so lucky in that, you know, when we bought the network, we were able to bring over 70 people with us. And so I had already, frankly, personally built a lot of great relationships with the staff and with the on-air talent. Some of them have, frankly, known me since I was a little kid.
Sure.
It's probably a little odd
right.
when they first found out, but gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you've known, like, Locker for decades.
I have.
Yeah.
I have. It's amazing. So, you know, in some ways, a lot of this comes full circle. But they integrated seamlessly. And I think we had tighter relationships here locally than they did with maybe the mothership in New York or you know
right.
Stamford, Connecticut or whatnot. Mm. So that the integration of our network with our team properties couldn't have gone more seamlessly. And, you know, when we opened the studio in March, we finally got an opportunity to open additional offices here, too. And, you know, our team was working remotely for... Well, a couple years, because they were renovating WRC
sure.
for a long time. They just opened, you know, a beautiful new renovation there. So finally, we kind of give our network a home. But the other thing I told our network was there was a lot of change in the local media industry, and I wanted our acquisition to really represent stability. Stability for the network, stability for the team. You hear a lot about different networks in different locales that are under financial distress. And, you know, fortunately, that's not us.
Mm.
We don't have any debt on this network. We're one of the few that's invested back into the product. We think it's very strategic to control and own our own destiny here from a local media perspective. And we think we've got a bright future. We went direct to consumer. We've got other distribution opportunities on the horizon. So we're really excited.
How much has the overall sports landscape just changed in just like the last 3 to 5 years with sports books? You have a sports book here at Capital One Arena. You've got the franchise valuations going through the roof for NBA, NHL, for all the franchises. What has that sea change been like for you and your father and the network been like in these last 3 or 5 years?
Well, even though I am my father's son, we don't think of this as a mom-and-pop mm-hmm. business. This is not a family business anymore. This is a huge, sophisticated enterprise. And, you know, we think about our business as a platform with shared services and shared sales and marketing forces, and we can launch new businesses off of it. You're right, we kind of went headfirst into sports betting. We were influential in getting PASPA repealed. We spent time in Capitol Hill and with local legislators and whatnot. We were the first arena in North America to open a sports book within our four walls. We were first movers in esports. We've got a little esports theater downstairs called District E. I own a team called Team Liquid, which has won a lot of esports championships.
Is that still projecting the way you guys anticipated?
It's been up and down, frankly. Our
yeah.
team has done exceptionally well, but
like overall,
we're lucky. I mean,
yeah.
our team Liquid will do over $60 million in revenue and break even.
Wow.
So I mean, it's
Jeez.
A real
$60 million and break even.
Yeah, and break even.
Where's all the cost associated with that?
All the cost goes to our players, the staff. I mean, they've got a couple. 100 employees.
How much are players making?
Business. Some of them are making $1 million.
Oh,
if you can believe it.
I'm trying to quit.
Yeah,
what are we doing? You're too old. Your reflexes are
getting
too slow.
But admittedly,
you put Splinter Cell.
Yeah, your hand eyes.
Exactly.
At this age,
exactly.
They don't have Donkey Kong.
It's amazing how many people love video games. I remember when Ovi first came over. He, you know, he was still getting to know people, and like one of his things he would sit down and do all the time is play CSGO. He was a huge Counter-Strike player.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our players love video games. It's pretty fun. We just had an NBA 2K event. Bilal was there playing with people, having a great time. He was beating people. He was really good at the game.
Wow.
So Yeah, it's fun.
That's Cakes' guy, Bilal.
That is my guy. I love him. Love
now, let me ask you something, Zach. So it's been made known to us many times of late that you guys would love to have us over here more, and that's very much appreciated. I'm glad that you guys like us. No, but here's the question. How do you react when we're critical of the teams, when we're in a funk? And look, we're a sticky show. I wouldn't take us very seriously, but, I mean, does that freak you guys out?
Not necessarily, no. I think there are times when we stink on the court or the ice, and mm-hmm. we probably deserve it. I think what people do need to, what I hope people understand is that, you know, we talk about business, we talk about platform. We really do want to build all this infrastructure for the betterment of our teams. Our number one goal and objective is to compete for championships.
Right.
And, you know, it's not always going to be realistic to have a championship caliber team every single season. The Wizards are in the midst of a rebuild where we're likely not going to win a championship this upcoming year, but we are executing a plan to build a championship contender.
Right.
And so, you know, I hope that people can understand that and have a little bit of patience, even though I know it's really hard. Signing up for a rebuild is not an easy thing to do. It's hard for the fan base,
the
business. But I think people and fans get it and are excited. They see what's happening. We had a good offseason, a really good draft. And we want to have teams win championships in every league. We've done that, obviously, in the NHL and the WNBA. We must do it in the NBA. We know that.
I think the rebuild actually went over well. I mean, Cakes can attest to that. We grew up as Bullets fans, now Wizards fans. And the perception from the fans, even us, is being stuck in the middle, especially in the NBA, is tough.
Can't do it.
I agree.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think my father has the right mantra in empowering front office staff to execute on a plan for the length of their contract. And, you know, if you deviate from strategy, that's where things end, you know, potentially prematurely. And we didn't like the results of what we were seeing on the Wizards side, so we made a change. So we've got brand new personnel. You know, you could have Will Dawkins on later today. Will is uber talented and incredible talent evaluator. Michael Winger is fantastic. You know, they're complemented by Travis Schlenk and Troy Weaver, some of the best talent evaluators in the league. And, you know, I remember they walked in and presented a 150-page plan. So
wow.
This isn't
a big plan.
Not a concept of a plan. This is a plan. And
Cakes would show up with a plan. Win lottery.
Right. That's not a plan, unfortunately.
Yeah. But, hope is not a business plan.
But,
right. It's not great.
You know, they're an impressive group, but there's always risk. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's real life. You have bad luck. Somebody doesn't pan out. An injury happens. The ping pong ball doesn't go your way. I mean, nothing is given. So, you know, we executed great on the cap
close
side.
To Wemby,
we got a little
right?
lucky, too.
Oh, so. One ping pong ball away from Wemby.
I know.
Or one combination of numbers. I know they don't just do straight ping pong balls anymore.
There you go.
Not sure exactly how it works.
There you go.
Well, Zach, thank you again for having us in.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We're more than happy to be here. This is an amazing facility that Monumental Sports has built for all of the sports.
Well, we should mention, Cakes, I believe they have another show to announce, right?
Oh, that's true.
On the politics side.
So, you know, last year we debuted a brand new program with Rachel Nichols, which was awesome. I think we saw the power of having a national TV personality drive an interview series. And so we're going to be announcing a new show with Chris Saliza.
Yeah.
It was formerly with CNN and the Washington Post. Really, really good guy. High energy, lots of fun.
Yep.
And, you know, he's going to take advantage of the fact that we are in Washington, D.C., and he's going to be doing a show that combines politics and sports, profiling members of Congress and people in the government circles about their sports experience. I think it's very organic to Washington, D.C. We're not trying to get political by any means, but, you know, just celebrating who we are in D.C., I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Awesome. I believe he's a Junkies listener.
He definitely is.
I think he is. You're right. Chris, if you're listening, how you doing?
And again, the app. Everybody download the new app,
right? Yes, download the app. You can watch the Junkies for free. It's on iOS or Android, your smart TV device. It's looking great. We just upgraded it, and it's a lot of fun.
Perfect.
Very cool.
Thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate
it.
Thank you,
President
buddy.
Of Media and New Enterprises for Monumental Sports and Entertainment. Don't forget, coming up at 7:45, Mystics head coach Eric Thiebaud joins the Junks.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the Monumental Sports Network studios in downtown D.C., right next to Capital One Arena. Don't forget, at 7:45, Mystics head coach Eric Thibault will join the show as they are in a dogfight to make the playoffs.
They
currently
are.
Currently the number 8 seed, so good for them.
Currently
and they started off the season terribly.
Yep, 0-12?
0-12 to start the season. So
wow.
For them to be in contention for the playoffs
so
is pretty
remarkable.
So they've
basically gone 500 since.
Yep. Time now to hit the skins. It's brought to you by our friends at Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Well, then grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code JUNKIES. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great. EB, are you concerned that Terry McLaurin has only 8 catches for 39 yards for a 4.9-yard average through 2 games? Is that concerning to you?
I mean, it's not concerning. I just think it's weird that that's how they're deciding to utilize him
right
now. I did see – now, again, this is just me casually. It seemed like they moved him around. He wasn't always in the left spot, you know, for every snap, like it's been the criticism early on. But it is strange that – you know, they're not targeting him more downfield.
Right.
That is strange to me.
Yes and no. I mean, there really hasn't been much of a downfield passing game at all through 2 games. We did finally see a couple of downfield passes late in the game of the second game to Noah Brown.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, and that was a bit of a wrap on Cliff Kingsbury and his offenses, there's been a lot of sideways passing. You also have a young quarterback who's probably not going to be as comfortable throwing downfield right now. So you heard during the broadcast Mark Slara talking about, you know, baby steps, and they're giving Jaden Daniels easier passes. So in some ways, it makes some sense. But it is stunning. I just looked at the top 100 receivers right now.
Yep.
In terms of yardage, he's not in the top 100 receivers right now.
It's also,
Brian Robinson has more receiving yards than Terry McLaurin Eckler on this Commanders team. Eckler has way more.
Yeah.
I mean, Noah Brown flashed a lot more. It is surprising that he's not there. At the same time, I don't expect him to have a big year. I never expect him to have a big year because you've got a rookie quarterback.
It's also a small sample size, and in the second game against the Giants, they leaned heavily on the running game. So he's just going to, even though he saw more action than he did in week one, if you're rushing for 215 yards like they did in week two, you're not going to have big wide receiver numbers across the board. So he kind of suffers from that as well. I think his role will expand and grow as Jaden gets more comfortable, as Cliff starts dialing up some longer shots, as we get deeper into the season.
It's certainly game plan related, but I wonder if defenses are going, all right, let's just take him, let's just try and take him out of the game a little
bit. I'm sure that's part of it.
And limit where he's catching the ball and how far he's going to go once he catches it, yard after the catch, right? Because, I mean, 12 targets and 8 catches in 2 games for your number one receiver for 39 yards, that ain't good.
That's not great.
And so I would say this. Defenses have a lot to do with it. That's why guys like Eckler are wide open underneath. Ertz has been open. Maybe now Noah Brown gets a lot more targets. But your number one target in the receiving core has to have more than 8 catches.
All that said, if Jaden Daniels hits him on that go to start the second half of the opener, we're talking about a totally different yardage total.
Yeah, well, it's a 70-yard touchdown.
He's scoring as a, like, I don't think that he's lost his skills.
No.
I think it's more towards what you said.
That's why I'm not alarmed.
Yeah, I think it's more towards what Jason is saying is, if I'm a defense, look, I don't know
anything. I'm taking him out.
But if I'm a defensive coordinator, I'm going to go, all right, who do I have to face?
I'm making Zach beat me.
I got to face Terry McLaurin and then a bunch of guys. It was nice what Noah Brown did, but at wide receiver, I'm not scared of any of them except for one guy. So I'm going to try and limit, obviously.
I'll tell you who's not going
to
beat me.
And that's why I think they threw the sideways passes to him in this game, because they wanted to feed him and get him, you know, touching the ball and hopefully in
as
rhythm.
As you should.
But
that's why guys like Eckler and Ertz are going to, if Ertz stays on the field for most, they're going to have a ton of catches.
But it's also a combination of factors, including, which you haven't mentioned yet, the less than stellar offensive line. They've done a fine job, but partly it's because Jaden's getting rid of the ball like faster than anybody in football. He's getting rid of the ball in like under 2.2 seconds. I think he was even faster in week two, or he was like, tick off it. He is getting rid of the ball fast, and part of it is because they don't want to necessarily expose him and have him throwing all these tight window throws early on, but it's also because the offensive line ain't great.
It's also going to be game plan and game flow dependent. Look at their next opponents, the Bengals. They're going on the road for Monday Night Football. The Bengals have been awful against the run in their first two games. They allowed Ramondre Stevenson to go nuts on them in week one. We saw that firsthand. We lose our survivor pick. And then this past weekend, the Chiefs rolled up a bunch of yards on them too. So if you're Kingsbury and Quinn and you want to stay in this game, they're probably going to be heavy rush in this game as well. So you might not see that Terry McLaurin expansion of him, you know, going downfield more until week 4, 5, 6. I don't think you're going to see it this weekend.
I wouldn't dismiss though the addition of Brown. He is he has a different skill set.
Good piece
than the other receivers on that team, and I think you notice an immediate impact, and I don't expect it to be a one off.
I like him more than the other guys. But there's a reason he was let go by the Houston Texans. He's not a premier wide receiver. They're going to play the Bengals next on Monday Night Football.
Right.
Now, T. Higgins may not play, but what the Commanders eventually need to do, and they're in a rebuild, is they need to add either a number one receiver so Terry becomes the number two, or a 1B receiver. You see that in Cincinnati. They've got Jamar Chase, but T. Higgins is really good.
It's fantastic.
T. Higgins wanted $20 million this offseason. There's a reason why the successful teams generally have two really good receivers. Jason's a Niners fan. Mm-hmm. The Niners, okay, they take a hit because Debo's hurt right now, but it's Debo and Ayuk. And they've got Kittle, and they got McCaffrey. These are premier.
Adam Peters knows
He knows
Noah Brown isn't a superstar, but
he's not going into next year with those receivers.
I agree with EB in that he's a decent piece. Now he may have been expendable for the Texans because they've got Dell, Diggs, and Nico Collins, who's a superstar at this point.
Yeah,
but is he usable here? Absolutely.
Oh, no. And if you look at what his production was last year, it's way more
and he's
than
big,
what these other guys have done.
He's like 6'2", 220.
Right. He's got a different skill set
than a lot of these guys on the roster.
He's going to have a big, significant role.
No, and he's going to have to step up to take away some of the attention that all these defenses are going to have, the attention towards Terry McLaurin.
But I'll tell you this. This game on Monday night, you know, the Bengals are desperate.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah.
And Chase is pissed. All right, you saw that this past week against
Kansas City.
But
he's pissed also at his organization.
I know. He's just pissed all the way around. And, you know, Burrow, if he's not pressured, man, he's going to kill you. So the lack of edge rushing from Washington this past couple weeks, I think it's going to kill him because Burrow is going to sit back there and Chase is going to be open. They're going to get Chase open whenever they want.
Yeah.
And they got Moss. They got Chase Brown. They got some guys that can hurt you. And Gesicki really played well this past week. So if you're not getting pressure, and I don't know if Joe Witt's going to start sending guys after Burrow, but if you're not going to get pressure on him, he's going to kill you.
And in the absence of T. Higgins, they've had guys like Yoshi Voss caught two short touchdowns this past weekend.
Yep.
Jermaine Burton, the rookie speedster out of Alabama.
He had like a
40-yard catch coming into this. I think it was like the first play of the second half for them against the Chiefs. So they've had guys stepping in with Higgins sidelined with the hamstring. So it's not just the Ja'Marr Chase show. They have some other pieces that Burrow can lean on there.
No, it's a big test. Joe Witt said this week that he's got to be better. I agree. He's got to be better. And frankly, I thought through half of the first half of that game last week, through the first half, that Kingsbury needed to be better.
Right.
And I thought he was. He got a little more creative.
He opened it up in the second half.
He opened it up. And maybe it's the grand plan,
you
know, start slowly. And maybe that's what he's going to try to do in many of these games, is lull them to sleep and then hit them for the big plays later. But we need some more big plays early on. And I agree with Jason. Witt's got to dial up more pressure because
he's got to send guys.
The corners aren't going to hold up, especially with Forbes out. I mean, it's kind of laughable to say that at this point because Forbes hasn't necessarily distinguished himself, but it just makes you one less guy, one less qualified guy on paper out there. You saw how bad Mike Davis was.
He was terrible.
They had to shut him down.
He had to be benched.
I mean, they're thin to begin with.
Yeah.
If I'm Zach Taylor, I am targeting Ja'Marr Chase 15 times
easily,
minimum.
Maybe 20
minimum.
Especially if Higgins isn't there. He
gets Neighbors 18 was close to that,
20
right?
targets.
He was 18.
Yeah. Malik Neighbors had a 67% target share against the Commanders. That is an absurd number.
And to bring it back to Terry McLaurin.
If guys get in like 30% is a big number. He was at nearly 70%.
To bring it back to Terry McLaurin, I think that they're going to make some adjustments. And Terry will be more involved. He's not going to have 40 yards receiving every two games, which is what he did in the first two games.
You wouldn't think.
Well, if they keep throwing him these little bubble screens, whatever you want to call them,
he
will have the same thing.
But he'll be able to, and I think you started to see Jaden getting more comfortable throwing the ball downfield in the second half. And I think they're going to lean into that more. Like, they've babied him a little bit, I think, with a lot of these sideways passes, but they didn't draft him, number two, to be a guy who's just throwing wide receiver screens.
No.
He has a good arm. He's shown that at times. They haven't really thrown many downfield balls, but I think you started to see that, and you're going to see more of it. And Terry ultimately get involved. Look, he's not washed.
No,
he was open on that bomb in the first game.
Of course.
If he hits it, it's a totally different
story.
That's
why I'm not concerned.
If this continues, I don't think it will for much longer, but if this lack of production continues, lack of targeting, he has to have a little diva. He has to channel a little bit of Stephon Diggs and go into
I don't think he has that in him.
I don't think he does, but he's
too
nice.
No, he wants to go to the coaches.
Then he'll have to be a good actor and go to the coaching staff and say, you got to get me involved more. This is outrageous. I have to be more a part of the game plan.
I think that's why they threw the wide receiver screens, because they looked at the first game and like, we got to get him involved, and then they just threw the little dump-offs and they just didn't work out.
Right.
I wouldn't be concerned about Terry McLaurin. I would just be concerned about the execution or lack thereof.
Right.
Because he could be open and maybe JD just doesn't see him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the overthrow in the first game. But Eckler is going to be open the entire season when he's on the field.
Yeah.
Because I think defenses are taking McLaurin away.
Well, I think Ertz has proven he's going to be open, too, until proven otherwise.
Yeah, utilize that, too.
I like our weapons. They're not great. They're not elite, but they're good enough to get open. They're good enough to score points.
By the way,
I have more concerns about our defense.
On a side note, do you guys like the double-dip Monday Night Football in Week 3?
I always like double dipping.
Yeah, you got the first game's Jags at the Bills. That's 7:30 on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And then Commanders at the Bengals. That's 8:15 on the mothership.
I don't like how they stagger that. I think that's weird.
Kind of like it.
Yeah, because then, you're watching a half hour one, and then you can switch the other?
I'll have a side screen on.
I'll be honest, it's better than watching Monday Night Countdown for 3 hours.
Right. Gross. Yeah.
To watch Jason Kelce dancing around.
Yeah, I'm done
Trapp
with that.
Said he had a take ready to go to talk about Jason Kelce.
Scorching hot take.
Is he getting over there? You know what? We can get the Drappy take. He's running over to the studios. I think they've got a camera on him.
Oh, they do. Are we going to go to the...
Drappy seemed passionate. I mean, this was just from a tweet that I saw.
Cue up Studio 2.
Jason Kelce.
It was just a mini tweet last night. I was so annoyed. I don't know how Jason Kelce got shoved down our throats. He's an offensive line. He's a center. The worst person on the offensive line that nobody cares about. I tweeted, I don't want to know what my offensive linemen look like. I don't know what any Seahawk offensive linemen look like. Why is this guy... I like Travis Kelce. I get he scores touchdowns. Offensive lineman, it should
he
be
used to score
seen
touchdowns
and not heard.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's been 2 weeks. I don't care about Jason Kelce.
I think he's mostly right there. Like, do you know what Tristan Wirfs looks like? He's supposedly not the best really. Offensive lineman in the game.
I couldn't believe how ugly Cosme was when he signed his contract. I mean, I couldn't believe it. So, yeah, I mean, for
I mean,
the most
I know
part,
what Trent Williams looks like because he's been here. He was here forever before he went to San Francisco.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, even the best offensive lineman, who they say Tristan Wirfs is one of them, I couldn't pick him
out.
Well,
all I know is they kept doing the push last night, right? And they appeared to be pretty successful without him. So maybe it wasn't even that great.
Most teams are successful with the tush-push, EB. Yeah. It's when you go for a half yard. You're supposed to be able to get a half yard.
Yeah, but I was told it was only because they had Kelce.
No. Apparently not.
Yeah. Can we
the
get someone
lives on
Monday Night Football who doesn't just do bits the entire time? Can we get some like a real person on there? We went from RG3 racing Eagles on the field to Jason Kelce doing his dump dance every 2 minutes.
Well, then also, he doesn't have to conform to everybody else is wearing a suit.
Yeah.
And he's got like chains and chest hair
it doesn't
sticking
matter.
Out.
Well, that was the Fitz
part
bit.
Of the brand.
What happened to Fitz?
He's on Amazon.
Yeah, come on. He's on a different platform.
Oh.
He's wearing Hawaiian shirts every week.
What was Ryan Clark?
I can't keep track.
What was Ryan Clark wearing last night?
I don't know. That was weird.
All right, we have to take a break. When we come back,
I'm sorry, I'm out on Monday Night Countdown.
We'll be joined in studio by the Mystics head coach, Eric Thibault. He will join us next here on The Fan. Junks are on a road trip today. We're at the Monumental Sports Network studios in Washington, D.C. Happy to be joined in said studio by the head coach of your Washington Mystics, Eric Thibault joins us. Coach, thanks for joining us. We appreciate the time.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yep. During the playoff push, you're taking time out of your day. You could be game planning. You carved a chunk out for the Junks, and we do appreciate that.
I had to come and get my mind right for the day. You know,
right,
this is the right way to start for a big game.
How shocked are you that you're in this position?
After the
this
start.
Point. Yeah.
A little bit shocking.
Yeah.
You know, 0-12, you don't, even in your worst case scenarios, you don't think about 0-12. And to get from that point to now having a chance to play our way into the playoffs is.
What were you going through at 0-12? Like, what was that grind like for you? Was your brain exploding? Did you see that coming, that kind of start? No.
No. We had some injuries right off the bat. We actually played well, like really well opening night. Had a chance to beat New York opening night and lost in basically a one possession game. We had a bunch of close ones and. Actually, 0-10, 0-11, 0-12, we played really well, so we had hope it was coming, but every
day
you look
at that point, like personally, what's it like? You're the head coach of a team, a professional team that is 0-10, 0-11, 0-12. Like, what's it like after the game? Can you decompress it all?
Not easily. No, not easily. I don't know. I think we were pretty good about trying to find some solutions. That's all you can really do in that situation. Sleep was not great. You know, you feel I think you probably feel the weight of the responsibility for everybody when you're the head coach of the team in that situation. And
hey, I'm the head coach of two soccer teams right now. Now they're 7 and 8 year olds.
It's all on
it's
you.
A little different.
It's all on you. You
got to
solve it all.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did see progress, like I was saying, in the later stages of that. So you kind of had some hope, but, you know, you need to win one.
What's that like walking into your to your bosses at 0-9, 0-10? Like, I know that Ted is a notoriously loyal guy, but at some point he had to be like, got to get a win here at some point. What was that dynamic like?
Well, we lost the two games back-to-back at home at Cap One against Chicago and Indiana, but we, you know, he was sitting courtside there and he saw us play well.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that helped. You know, you're trying to do a little convincing to them, almost trying to convince yourself, like, hey, this is going to turn. We're playing well. We're playing good basketball. It's going to turn, and luckily it did. And, you know, even these last couple weeks with a really young team, we're just kind of on a run that maybe we still didn't expect.
Yeah, they probably have great confidence now because of how they've played the last 10 games. You've won 7 out of 10. You're right there in the mix, currently the 8th seed. Two other teams are – I think you have identical records with those teams. But you play the Liberty – best team in the league, and they haven't wrapped up the one seed yet. You said they need one win. Mm-hmm. So I assume they're playing all their studs tonight. And then, of course, Caitlin Clark. We think Caitlin Clark's going to play on Thursday. So let's talk about the Liberty. How do you defend them?
You just have to make everything really, you know, uncomfortable for them. If you just let them run their stuff and move the ball and shoot threes, it's going to be a long night. But, you know, we've played them a lot over the past couple of years, including a playoff series last year. Mm-hmm. I think we have defended them relatively well. I don't know. We got to ride the wave a little bit. Like, you know, not try to do too many different things.
Right.
Play good. We've been playing good defense. Need to get some, you know, easy offense off of our defense and, you know, try to ride our home crowd a little bit.
Now, Leah Edwards was out this past game, the dream game with the ankle injury. Is she back for the Liberty game?
I don't know if we'll have her tonight. She's doubtful for tonight.
Okay.
But hopefully it's not too serious and we'll get her back, you know, if not Thursday, then maybe a playoff run.
Right.
Did you know that Caitlin Clark was this good?
Yes.
You did. You're not yes. surprised.
No, I'm not surprised.
Since when? Like, have you known about her for 4 years, 3 years? How long? Because most people, it's in the last year.
My sister was coaching at Minnesota as an assistant when Caitlin came in, and, you know, she's brash now, Caitlin, but she was brash as a freshman going into college and playing with a lot of confidence. So we saw it early. I think probably her junior, maybe by her junior year, you're like, oh, this is like a real deal.
Mm-hmm. WNBA franchise player. How are the Tebows ranked in terms of coaching?
Oh, I'm third, unfortunately.
You're down the list.
I mean, my dad's got the, you know, the Hall of Fame resume, and my sister is, you know, the head coach of Fairfield now, and they had I think they finished 31-2 last year.
Wow,
that's great. Won their league. So,
was there ever a thought not to stick in the family business, or was it you were just like destined to be a coach?
I thought I was going to be a sports journalist. So, you know, I went to journalism school,
okay.
And then started working with the team at Mizzou. I was playing for with the women's team as a practice player. And got back into the coaching side. And
you picked the right path.
You loved it.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun, I think.
Depends on, at 0-12, I wasn't sure.
Right. Yeah. No, but I want to get back to Caitlin, though, and just kind of just for a moment, because I was always struck when she first came into the league, and she had a little bit of a transition, right, before she really, you know, got going. Now she's like full-blown. She's in her mode. And there were quotes from Gino Auriemma, one of the greatest of all time, right? And he kind of knocked her a little bit, said that, like, he didn't really recruit her, right, because he thought she was a little – so when she was kind of struggling in that transition, I thought his analysis wasn't fair. So you had no doubt that her talent – because he said she was a little slow and that she wasn't quite as athletic and he wasn't surprised that she was struggling. You had no doubt about her abilities.
I'm not surprised that any rookie struggles.
Yeah.
You know, especially she had a brutal schedule to start the year. It's notoriously hard for guards coming into our league. And so, you know, she struggled for about a month, and that was it. So, you know, we're all in for it the next decade.
The good part of it is, though, it has brought more eyeballs, right? Myself included.
Sure.
And checking out the league, and you see, you know what? She's remarkable. But there are a lot of other girls, women, doing remarkable things in this league that – I'm not used to from like 20 years ago. Like, she's not the only one playing a different style of basketball these days.
No, and I think hopefully what's starting to happen is what the people in the league wish would happen was, hey, the spotlight is great. You know, and now as she plays different people in the league and more exposure comes nationally, that you're going to get to see all these other stories. You know, people might not have been familiar with Asia Wilson, but now you're seeing the type of season she's having. And
she goes over 1,000 for the first time in WNBA season. That's crazy.
And so, you know, I think people that really love the game, that are basketball fans, will get introduced maybe through this way and then fall in love with the rest of the league.
How much is analytics part of your coaching nowadays? Like, thinking about the three-point shooting, you have people that shoot, you know, 35%, 40% on your team. How much is analytics involved now in coaching versus maybe in the past?
I think we've been at it for a while. It's definitely a big part of it. I mean, we get more data than we can, you know, even process for a, you know, two-day turnaround for a game. So I think part of my job is just to try to narrow it into something that I can actually take to the team that we can use. So huge. I mean, we were probably among the forerunners in our league for trying to do it. I mean, I used to chart stuff by hand. We don't have to do that anymore. But huge. It goes into team building, goes into the decisions we make in, you know, scattering reports from night to night. But we got the tracking data this year for the first time. So,
oh, wow. What is that?
It's like the cameras that are in the arena that are tracking all the players. We just get so many more things.
So you see how much they run.
Yeah, Second Spectrum is the company we use, similar to like a Hawkeye. So we, I mean, we can see matchups, we can see drive directions, you can see all these things that was hard to capture.
Wow. Let me ask you this. Obviously, as the coach, you want to go, you want to advance to the playoffs, you want to win a championship. But are there internal debates that happen all the time? Like, it's better to just maybe get a lot, you know, get a higher draft pick and not just kind of squeak into the playoffs? Is that an internal debate that happens?
I think it probably is going on around our league. I won't speak to how much it goes in our league. I mean, we've been in the mode of trying to win games. We also have Atlanta's pick. So we're going to end up, no matter what we do, it's going to end up with a lottery pick this year. So we're going to have two picks in the top. You know, top half of the first round.
All right.
How did you guys do against Caitlin? You beat her the last time you played him in July.
Yeah, 1-2. We lost
1-2. Okay.
Lost a close one here. Lost one there. We didn't play very well, and then got a win last time we played them.
How do you defend her? I mean, she can get her shot off whenever she wants.
It's that balance between the shooting and then you overreact and she kills you with
her
passing.
Right.
So. We tried to take, I mean, I think the biggest thing is she's going to have the ball so much. You got to be comfortable with the angles you're taking of, hey, we're going to try to take away her early threes, but then we're not going to stay with her forever.
Right.
Luckily, we got some pretty good individual defenders that can just make it hard for her.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, Coach Tebow, we appreciate the time. We know you're busy. Two games left.
Good luck
best
the rest of the way,
luck
man.
Appreciate
against
it. Against
the
Liberty
and the
Fever.
Half hour.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
It's
a busy day. Best
right
of luck in the last two games.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
That's Coach Eric Tebow of the Mystics. They've got two games left. Hopefully, they qualify for the playoffs. Coming up at 8:20, Washington Capitals head coach Spencer Carberry joins the Junks. We'll be right back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.